Welcome to Family Talk with host and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my co-host, Lou Ann Crane. Dad and Lou Ann, if there is one thing we strongly care about here at Family Talk, it is supporting the men and women who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces.
And not only us, Ryan, our listeners, too, share that passion for the military. Dr. Dobson, every time we feature something remotely related to the military, we hear from listeners en masse, and today will be no exception.
Well, we're going to continue to do that, Lou Ann and Ryan. I am so deeply honored today to have General Charles Krulak with us in the studio. He is one of the most distinguished men who has served in the military in our generation. He served for 35 years as a Marine. He became a four-star general. Now he's retired. Went to the Naval Academy, and my goodness, there are people, millions of people that love and appreciate this man for what he has done and for the contribution he's made to our country. He went on to become the Commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps. There have only been 31 of those, or I guess 32 or 3 now since you retired.
It's going up in number, that's for sure.
And he was a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and then retired in 1999. He had two tours of duty in Vietnam, and he served as General of the 6th Marine Expeditionary Brigade during Desert Storm. I mean, we could spend the whole program talking about the history of this man. You were wounded in Vietnam, weren't you?
Yes, I was wounded twice.
And didn't I read that you found the Lord in a foxhole, or at least you got acquainted with
him? I got acquainted. I was wounded twice. As you know, I'm 5'6" now, but I used to be 6'5" when I got shot. No, I did find the Lord in a foxhole. That's correct.
Oh, yeah. What was that night or that day like?
Well, it was it's a very long story because I found the Lord, lost the Lord, and found him again several years later. But that particular night, it was we were in literally in battle all night long. I woke up in the morning and was in a foxhole with three other Marines. All we had with us were 45 caliber pistols, and there was a bunch of North Vietnamese coming in our direction, and a helicopter gunship flew over and took them out, but thought we were enemy also, and was lined right up against us, swooping
friendly
down,
fire,
swooping right down on us. And at that point, I said, you know, Father, if you get us through this, I'll be yours forever. And that helicopter gunship just did a right flank and took off, and we were safe. And I at that point in time, you know, said, Lord is all powerful.
You really meant it when you made a commitment to Christ that second time, didn't you?
The second time.
Because it has affected everything you have done since.
Well, I think it's like, you know, many of your listeners, the Lord rules, the Lord reigns. And once you turn your life over to Him, wonderful things happen.
Lou Ann, I think Ryan already knows this, but the general and I got acquainted, and also Shirley and Zandy, his wife, of 46 years, I believe.
We'll be 47 this June.
He invited me to come to Washington, D.C., to speak at the 221st anniversary of the Marine Corps at the Washington National Cathedral. And we spent the night, you don't call it quarters one. What do you call it in the Marine Corps?
Well, it's 8th and I. It's the home of the Commandants.
Yeah. So have all of them lived there?
Every one of them.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. 31, then out 33, whatever it is.
Well, my first acquaintance with you, I got to come witness the silent parade at the Commandant's house, which was, I mean, it was amazing to see Marines in formation doing the whole silent parade. Not one sound except the noise of the guns spinning checking them back and forth. The precision was amazing.
Great, great young man. Great young man.
You know, that night that I spoke at the anniversary of the Marine Corps was one of the highlights of my life.
It was a remarkable day.
You can't believe the brass that was there. I was so dazzled I couldn't even see that. That big National Cathedral was also made even more crowded because some people came in.
It was a fabulous, fabulous day.
Actually, the people who run the National Cathedral, and it is a church, it's an Episcopal church, finally decided I couldn't come. And they were afraid of what I was going to say, and I didn't have any intention of being controversial there. But General Krulak dug in. I mean, he took these folks on.
Wow.
And eventually the story got on the front page of the Washington Post, above the fold on the front page. Yeah. And he said, nope, this is our event. This is the Marine Corps, and he's going to be there. And it was really a very special night.
It was
night.
A very special, special time.
And, of course, spending the night with you guys.
It was great. It was great.
You have been such a friend, Chuck. Well, that last few years that you were commandant of the Marine Corps, it really ought to be known by Christians everywhere, because you had a great desire to teach your Marines character and morality. You really brought your value system in to, and then you started something called a crucible. Explain what that was.
Well, I think that this was in the mid-1990s. Obviously, a lot of things were happening in the world, but a lot of things were happening in the country where we had a concern. We as a Marine Corps had a concern about the type of values that were being brought into the Corps. And so we decided to stress a values-based approach to training of our brand new recruits. And so we brought them into Recruit Depot, and we spent 12 weeks working with these young men and women, trying to bring them into self-discipline.
Wasn't it at the end of boot camp?
That's right. And then at the end, we decided we were going to take it one step further and go from self-discipline to selflessness. And we needed a tool to do that. And so we started something called the Crucible, which is still in existence, still going strong. 54 straight hours of food and sleep deprivation, having young men and women have to go through multiple tests of physical stamina. But in order to achieve success, they have to do it together. They have to do it as a team. And so by the end of the 54 hours, they have been so concentrated in their thought and in their actions. Each event had a special lesson to be learned, whether it was selflessness or integrity or moral courage. Each event drove home that lesson, which had also been driven home during their entire time at Recruit Depot.
It changed them forever.
That's right. It was a very powerful,
and
powerful.
It's still happening.
Yeah, and it's still happening.
I want to read something from the book about your dad, Chuck. It's entitled Brute, The Life of Victor Krulak, U.S. Marine. And your dad was a 3-star general. And it was highly complimentary of you, especially with regard to the crucible. And it said essentially what you just said about its effectiveness. But at the end of the book, there is a criticism of you that I think is very interesting. Let me read just a portion of that book from page 333. It says, in 1977, he was born again and left the Episcopal Church, quote, for a church that feeds me and my wife, end quote. He says that he favors sermons that come directly from the Bible rather than from the Book of Common Prayer. He and Zandi, his wife, have attended a variety of churches, including Calvary Chapel, which believes in, quote, the inerrancy of the Bible, end quote, and the Church of the Nazarene, a fundamentalist church. I'm a fourth-generation member of that church. As commandant, Chuck had a sign on his desk that said integrity, which no one quarreled with. But a number of officers did quarrel with his idea, and this is really radical now, of having a chaplain lead a daily 7:15 a.m. devotional in his office. Oh, that's bad news. Even though the devotional was voluntary, some Marines felt that because it was held in Chuck's office, attendance was mandatory. During his commandancy, Chuck called three generals into his office, said it was known that they were having affairs with their secretaries, and gave them a choice of either retirement or court-martial. They elected to retire. Some officers also contended that Chuck demonized alcohol and destroyed the traditional camaraderie of happy hour at officers' club. All of this causes some Marine officers to see Chuck as narrow, prudish, and judgmental, a verdict that tends to upset his equanimity. You're bad news, man.
I was. The you know, let's start with obviously the prayer time. That's whenever I've had a command at 7:15. That's just what I do. Nobody had to come. Sometimes it was standing room only. Sometimes it was just the chaplain and myself. And we never prayed for me. We never prayed for my wisdom. We prayed for my Marines. We prayed for their safety. We prayed for those things that would concern any leader. It was never about Chuck Krulak. It was always about the Marines. The issue with the adultery, I mean, in my opinion, you cannot put faith in any officer or anybody who cannot live up to the vows they took in front of the Lord. And so
and to his wife.
Yeah, that's what I mean, to the wife. And so when discovered, we didn't need that type of person in the Marine Corps.
You really didn't mind that criticism.
No. I heard it before. The only one that really got to me was the devotions, because the reality was no one was forced. I confess, I put it on my daily calendar. Everybody knew what I was doing at 7:15. But it was for the Marines. It was praying for our Marines.
It's just one more example of the selflessness you're trying to teach in the crucible.
That's correct.
Where it's on there to say, I care about you, and I'm going to be praying for you and thinking about you every single morning. That seems like the sign of a great leader.
Yeah.
But those virtues are something you can't ignore. I mean, all the time we see the attacks on our local Air Force Academy, and every time they try to uphold morality and integrity, it's always seen as proselytizing and all of that kind of a thing. I really admire you,
well,
General,
thank you
for taking that stand and hearing that that's going on in the Marine Corps.
This man is a great leader, I'll tell you. And he's now got a new assignment.
Yeah.
You have been president of a bank.
Yes.
Describe that, and then let's talk about what you're going to do next.
Well, when I left the Marine Corps, I wanted to do something that was totally different. I mean, I get energy from taking on new challenges, and I had the opportunity to join a bank. And so I got deeply involved with that institution, and then joined a bunch of boards. And it all the time... feeling that there was something else, that, you know, maybe the Lord had something more for me. And my wife and I would pray every night saying, Lord, you know, your will be done. And something opened up, and it was the presidency of a very, very fine liberal arts college in Alabama called Birmingham Southern College. It's got its roots in the Methodist Church. Great, great faculty, wonderful staff.
And you're really excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
This
and
too,
most
right?
important, the yeah. students are absolutely magnificent.
We're going to see if you put the crucible in there.
No. But, I mean, there's a difference. A lot of people talk about training. They go to college and they get trained to do this, business school or what have you. Training's preparation for the expected. Education is preparation for the unexpected. And that's what this school does. Its faculty is preparing these young men and women for the unexpected, which unfortunately is what we see in our world today.
Well, General, what excites me, though, as a mom, I have a college student right now. Mm-hmm. You're not only taking over the presidency of Birmingham Southern College, but you're also going to be teaching some classes in a professor-type role.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I've been asked by a couple of faculty to teach one in their leadership studies, and obviously my heart is in ethical leadership, mm-hmm. and then in political science, and so I'll be doing that. But what's really important, in my opinion, is the interaction with the young men and women. They're great kids today. I mean, they're not. Some of them get a bum rap. They're really great kids. Mm-hmm. They're looking for mentors. They're looking for role models. And I think that if we provide those to them, they're going to develop into men and women of character. Mm-hmm. My goal at Birmingham Southern College is, at the end of 4 years, return graduates to their parents, to their communities, to their cities, states, to our nation, better for having attended that school. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, my gosh, we're going to be in great shape, and that's what we want to do.
Can you imagine being in college and taking a leadership course from General Krulak?
In fact,
I want to go back to college right now. Like, I should just go take a course.
They asked what they should call me and call my wife, and I said, well, we're not one for being called president or general, so why don't you call us what our grandkids do, Nonny and Poppy?
That's not going to happen.
they're probably too young to be children of mine, but and a little bit too old to be grandchildren. But I want to give them the kind of example that a grandfather or a father would give to their daughter or to their son.
Well, I appreciate just the way you esteem this generation, sir. You know, even saying this is a fine group of young men and women, people aren't really saying that about the next generation. You really believe in them.
Oh, I absolutely do. I think this is a great, great generation. Look, going back to the military, look at these young men and women who are sacrificing every single day. I mean, we talk about World War II and the greatest generation. You know, what can you say about people who we've been at war for 10 years and they have, they're contemporaries in one generation or 5 or 6 years behind them coming up, and they're as dedicated. I mean, I spent time on this campus, and these kids are really dedicated. They're focused. They have they're selfless. I have nothing but good things to say about this generation.
General, I realize when you would teach a semester-long class, you would cover a lot of material. But I've just got to ask you, if you had my 20-year-old son sitting here right now and you had 15 minutes with him, I am dying to know, what would you want to pour into his life? What do you want him to know as a young man emerging into life?
Well, I'd say it for both young men and women, and that is that if you're going to be successful in life, whether you're going to be successful with your relationships, with the family, successful in business, successful just in living a life, you have to be a man or woman of character. You have to be a man or woman of character. And I define that with three terms. One of them, you have to be selfless. You have to care more for your fellow man than you care for yourself. In the business sense, quit worrying about who gets the credit. Just worry about that the job gets done.
That's an uphill battle right there when you think about the generation
that's
promoted a lot.
Yeah. Secondly, is to have moral courage. The willingness to do the right thing even when people aren't looking, but more importantly, the willingness to tell the emperor or the empress that they're not wearing any clothes. I think one of the things that is most important in life is to be able to stand up for your own value system, stand up for what you believe in, to take corrective action when it's required. And that requires moral courage. And then finally, integrity. And here, your words got to be your bond. And you put those three together, you're going to be successful in just about anything you do.
Do you miss the military?
That's a good question. I miss the people.
Yeah.
I miss the people. To say, do I miss the Corps is always in your blood. And just like the Army or the Navy or the Air Force, is always going to be in your blood. But the only thing that really tugs at my heart are those Marines that I was honored and proud to lead. And I miss each one of them, yeah. But not the institution. I certainly don't miss Washington, D.C.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff and having that responsibility and being on the cutting edge of what was happening in the world and all of that. You also had an assignment from the White House. You don't miss all that?
Now, to be very honest, Dr. Dobson, I don't. I mean, there's an old saying that when I worked in the White House, there was an old saying that says, when you're gone, you're gone. And that's kind of how I feel. I just believe in my heart that the Lord has something for all of us to do. And if we just listen to him, you're going to do it. Look, of all the people to be pointing the finger at me, look at you. I mean, you've had a wonderful career at one location, and yet you realize that the Lord wouldn't finish with you. And so the country needs this type of ministry, you know, family talk.
General, being the commandant of one of the services, including the Marine Corps, it seems to me to have some risks associated with it because everybody wants to please you. Everybody wants to gain your favor. You have a tremendous amount of power, and they're constantly looking for ways to, accommodate you in one way or another. And when that's over, how do you deal with that all of a sudden when there was somebody to shine your shoes before and now they you're yesterday? Is that something you've seen dangerous for people who can't handle it?
Well, it may be. Like I said, my whole belief is when you're gone, you're gone. First off, one of the keys to being successful in any business enterprise, whether it's a bank or the military, is to surround yourself with people who do have moral courage, who will keep you on the straight and narrow. And I had enough people telling me when I wasn't wearing any clothes that I never had to suffer from that. Secondly, don't ever believe your own press clippings. I mean, you just you have to understand who you are. You know, as for shining shoes, I did my own shining. I think it's just a matter of understanding who you are, that it's the office of the Commandant of the Marine Corps. It's the office of the Chief of Staff of the Army. It's the office of a great religious leader. It is not the individual. And so they pay honor, they show respect to the office, and hopefully you've earned that respect also. It's not just the office that you've earned it. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to walk away and say, it was a great tour, but it's over. I have a philosophy, and I hope the young people out in the audience understand this. The philosophy is steer by the stars and not by your wake. Steer by the stars and not by your
wake. I bet you that
wake.
Goes back a long ways, doesn't it? Is that a kind of a traditional statement in the Marine Corps?
No.
That's yours.
It's my dad and myself. The point is very simple. You know, you can't look back. What happened, look forward.
Luann, I just loved that line from General Krulak here on this Family Talk broadcast. He is such an amazing man, mm-hmm. and what an inspiring quote. I actually posted that on the Family Talk Facebook page today, and I'm going to refer back to it again, I'm sure.
Well, he certainly has a lot of wisdom to share with all of us, and we'll hear more from him tomorrow. Ryan, I know you deeply admire this gentleman, mm-hmm. and we're so grateful that we could feature his story here today on Family Talk as we look forward to Armed Forces Day coming mm-hmm. up this Saturday. This gentleman, his family, and so many others have given their all to protect our country.
You could not be more right. And we will have more links at myfamilytalk.com where you can get information on the history and purpose of Armed Forces Day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be finding that out myself. And if you know someone who is serving in the military and you love them and you're proud of them, mm-hmm. why don't you give them a shout out on our Facebook page? Tell them you love them and you appreciate what they're doing. Maybe even send them a CD copy of this broadcast. You can do all of that at myfamilytalk.com.
Well, and Ryan, really, Memorial Day is coming up in mm-hmm. just a week or two. It would be great to pass that CD along to a friend or a family member who is a veteran or currently enlisted. Again, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call mm-hmm. for that CD copy, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for listening and for your prayers and financial support of Family Talk. Make plans to be with us tomorrow when we'll continue our discussion with General Charles Krulak.